be communion service this Sunday, immediately following the normal service, but we will not have any fellowship meal. It's just the communion and foot washing immediately following the service Sunday. There's also a time change on Sunday, so be sure to show up on time for church and be ready and expecting. How many came expecting tonight that great things can happen? Amen. Amen. We have several needs. We want to remember to pray for Sister Alyssa, Sister Chloe Miles, both of them homesick. Also, Sister Barbara asked that we remember to keep Brother Gary in prayer. He's not been feeling well. Asked that we remember him. Amen. If you have a need, maybe just even at the start of the service, you can commit it to God and say, Lord, come by my way this evening. Anoint me, use me, speak through the ministry to my need. Amen. And draw me close to you. And never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. Lord, you are my desire. Find the way, bring me back to you. Well, tell him you're all I want. Joe, if you'd open a service for us. Amen. We're certainly shouting victory with Sister Laura Burns, Brother Jackson. Sister Laura's mom was baptized today. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen.
Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer. And you had a need at the beginning of the service. You raised your hand to him. You saw the request. I heard him. We just trusted the God that we are feeling his presence even now. We'll meet that need. And we do rejoice in Sister Chris Burns, or Sister Chris, being baptized today. What a remarkable thing, you know. It's never too late. Young person, listen to me. It's never too late to get on the right road and serve him. So let's just go to him in prayer. Father, what a joy it is to serve you today, and what an honor it is to be in your presence, Lord. We're a special people, Lord, not because of the family we come from, not because of the church we attend, not because of, Lord, the friends that we have, the jobs, careers, or anything of that nature, but we're a special people because we're a people that was in your foreknowledge, Lord. A people that was in the plan and purpose of God before there was ever a foundation of the world, before earth was ever thought about. We here tonight and many around the world were in your thinking. And Lord, if we ever were in your thoughts, then we always will be in your thoughts. If we ever were there, we were eternal. And we are eternal tonight, Father. And we rejoice in knowing, Lord, the mysteries that we have, the understanding that we have, Lord, that we don't take these things lightly. We recognize our place and our position as the bride of Christ. And Lord, your prophet taught us so well, Lord. When we take the words of God and we place it on those human lips, and we speak it in the name of Jesus, it's just as deity speaking. So, Father, you see every need, every heart, all the requests that was mentioned today, different loved ones, Lord, suffering in their body, Brother Gary at home, Lord, in need, and others that are in need tonight, Father. We thank you, God, that, Lord, we can petition you and our knees don't fall short. But you hear, your arm is not short and your ear is not heavy, but what you hear, the faintest heart's cry. So, Father, we petition you tonight to move on the scene for these needs. Heal the sick and afflicted, Lord. Deliver those who are bound, Father, and bring liberty to the captive tonight. We ask that you use Brother Timothy, Lord, in a special way, Father. So thankful for the ministry that you've placed us with, Lord. Men of God who are consecrated and dedicated to your service, to do your work and to your will and to feed your sheep. Now, Lord, we're sheep and we come hungry tonight. And we ask you feed us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers can take up the offering this evening. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. So, let's sing it again. He became sin. Oh, and he became sin. Who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself. Oh, aren't you grateful he carried
the cross?
So amazing, yes, love so amazing. Oh, Jesus Messiah, yes, name above all.
broken and poured out all for. And the whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Oh, love so amazing. Yes, love so Messiah. Yes, he's the name of all names. Oh, blessed Redeemer.
It's his name, let me bring it special.
Oh, Emmanuel. And the rescue for sin. From death.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believes he can move the immovable? Amen. He can break the unbreakable. He's so good. Amen. What a powerful God we serve. What a great God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer. Lord, we just want to submit our hearts to you today again and just say how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, that you truly are God and you change not. And Lord, you're strong. And there's nothing you can't do. There's no mountain that's impossible. There's no valley that's too wide or too deep. There's no wall that's too thick or too tall that you can't break down, Lord. You'll do whatever you have to do, Lord, to fulfill your word, to save your elect. Oh, God, what a wonderful Savior you are. And Lord, we just commit this time to you and this service to you with our whole hearts, Lord. Just want to say again how much we love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Just had a wonderful time this weekend and so enjoyed Brother Samuel Browning and his ministry and his family. And just a wonderful spirit and wonderful fellowship. And how many were blessed? Amen. Amen. I know I was blessed. Heard from many that were, and just really thank him for coming and being a part of our services. Romans 4 and verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, for he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Also 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I just want to read the quote again that I read last Wednesday from the message Faith. It said, in this world, in this building here is evil spirits and war, and Christians anointed, and the angels of God encamped about them, trying to energize them with faith. Amen. Trying to energize them with faith. So it showed, as we spoke about it last Wednesday, faith has an energy. There's an energy that comes from believing, amen, to believe things. And so that would be opposite exactly with doubt. Doubt comes, you know, the opposite direction and brings down your feelings, brings down your mind, brings down all kinds of things upon you. But, you know, reading our scripture here about Abraham, Abraham's a wonderful example in the Bible of faith. And you know, I learned something very early in my ministry about Abraham that the scripture says that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But, you know, you could actually go back and you can look in the Old Testament and you could see where Abraham had mistakes and Abraham had failures and Abraham disbelieved sometimes. You know, he went and done things that God told him not to do. And so we look at that and we wonder, well, how does that work? Well, God showed me very clearly at a young minister that as I was dealing with a situation in my own family with Andrew being born premature and having lung issues, that Paul was bringing it under the new covenant. Amen. When it was wrote in the Old Testament, it was under the blood of bulls and goats. And so you could see all the faults and all the failures and all the mistakes. But under the new covenant, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, that he would look at things that were or were not and call it as though it were. And he would believe God no matter what the situation. And so when he would do that and the promise was fulfilled in his life, that through the covenant of the new lamb, not one sin was wrote down, not one wrong was wrote down, not one thing, that was only that he believed God. And I want that to be said about me, that when it comes down to it, that God looks at me through the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, and he doesn't look at my failures, he doesn't look at my faults and things that I've done wrong or where I may have made a mistake or you know, there's plenty of those, but he doesn't look at all of that, but he looks at my faith and he says, that's a son of God, and he believes my word, and he's holding on to my word, and it's imputed unto me for righteousness. And so, you know, but Abraham, he called those things that were not as though they were. And Paul looks at that and says, we don't look at things which are seen, but we look at things that are not seen. And so, you know, if we looked at things that were seen and looked at all around us and circumstances, if we'd have been looking, many of you, if you'd have just looked at what you saw tonight, maybe you wouldn't have made it to the house of God. Maybe there would have been things that have come up in your way, but there was something inside of you that looked beyond what you could see around you or what you could see going on in your household or whatever, and you realize there's something greater at work here. There's something greater. Maybe the devil's trying to block me from something. Maybe something is taking place. So you look beyond what you could feel or what you could see, and you realize that there's other realms that are going on even in this building, even in your home, even in things. Brother Branham would take that, and he would take that in the natural way also, and he would show us, you know, how the televisions and the radios and all of that stuff had been going on for all time, but until somebody found something that could receive it and could bring it into a picture, then they found that, hey, we can send this across the nation, and we could send this address, and we could do this, and we can do things greater than Morse codes or greater than telephones. We can actually put a live picture of somebody right in front of every home, and so they begin to work in that realm. And Brother Branham was talking to a man one time in Canada about that. And he says, you know, he said that is there. He said, but he was actually selling TVs. He said, that is there because there's a sending station and a receiving station. And he said, but I want you to know that we also as Christians also have a sending station and a receiving station. He said, God placed human hearts upon this earth not to catch every other thing that's going on, but to be a receiving station for the Holy Ghost. That when the tower from heaven begins to broadcast a message and begins to pulsate and things begin to go out, that there's somebody here upon this earth that can catch what heaven is saying. Amen. That's what he did. That's what Brother Branham was. He was a receiving station. Amen. He received, amen, things from the supernatural realm. Now, he was tuned in a lot more than some of us, many of us, maybe all of us were at many times. We didn't see, maybe don't see all the angels he saw, the pillar of fire, but he showed us that it was very real and very evident, that it was there even though we couldn't see it. He would say, now can't you see that light hanging over that one? Can't you see that right over there? What was it? He was a receiving station, and he was tuned into the supernatural realm, and he could actually see things that could not be seen by the natural eye. Now, I still believe that there's men upon the earth and women upon the earth that still can be tuned in to where they can see supernatural things. I believe that we know that what's going on in the world that we're in, the wars that's taking place and things, that there's actually supernatural powers behind all of this. And it's only acting out in the natural form, in a natural way, but it's bringing about an end. It's bringing about the fulfillment of the word. And I believe that if those people can catch and be called up under that anointing to go to war, to drop bombs, to do all of that thing, I believe there's also somebody else that is
can be caught up under the anointing of the hour, amen, to receive things directly from heaven. They can receive things directly, amen, from God. And I believe that God still has those kind of people upon the earth. Amen. I want to speak to you that about faith in the unseen. Amen. So he looks here and he says, you see, he said, well, all that can be scientifically proven. And, you know, we got this by science. He said, well, let me ask you something. Could you tell me what love is? Could you scientifically show me what love is? I need some more of it. See, you can't. It's unseen. He said, show me what's life. Buy me a quarter's worth. Show me what it is. See, those things are temporal and perishable, and you put more emphasis and so much concern about natural things and so little about the spiritual. Amen. If there's people like that, but I believe there's also the opposite. There's people that has more concern about the spiritual than they do the natural. That's why you're here tonight. Because you have more concern about the spiritual than you do the natural. He said, you know, so you have all these things moving. He said, but he said, well, you know, you got to prove to me that there's something. He said, I can prove it to you. For in glory, we got a risen Savior who sends forth the Holy Ghost. And he speaks his word. And he reveals it and he makes it positive. So there's a sending station and a receiving station. Amen. He said, who's a receiving station? It's the heart that's been tuned in to the supernatural realm. Amen. So God in heaven knows how to put everything together. He said, so he said, see, he said, let me show you. He said, there's men that has been upon this earth that looked at things that were not seen. He said, Noah, he looked at him before one drop of water fell, before one thing happened. He saw something coming, and so he made preparation for it. Amen. But he didn't see it with his natural eye. It was after he was in the ark before the rain came. It was after all the preparation was done. But by faith, he saw things that were coming to pass. And I believe there's also a people upon this earth that by faith, you see things are coming to pass. It doesn't matter if Fox News says it or CNN or whoever says it. We have another word that is spoken in this hour that said there's going to be destruction. There's going to be things happen. There's going to be a tribulation. And you are making preparation, not for a tribulation, but you're making preparation to get out of here before those things fall. Amen. So we have to be a people that is looking, amen, not what we see or not what's going on around us, but things that cannot be seen. Amen. He said, I'm so glad that by faith we can see, just like Noah, we can see the far coming of the Lord Jesus and make preparation to get out of this old world that's going to be burned with unquenchable fire. Amen. When God said Noah, Noah said, where are you, Lord? He said, that makes no difference where I am. I am that I am. It's going to rain. Ever since he heard that word, there was something that started in Noah's heart. It's going to rain. He couldn't see clouds. He couldn't see precipitation. He couldn't see one little drop. But something began to pulsate in his heart. It's going to rain. Amen. Is there anybody got that pulsation in your heart? You see all these other things going on, but there's something greater than that. It's greater than a war over here or our news over here or tragedy over here. There's something pulsating. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a body change. The dead in Christ is going to rise, and it's pulsating in your heart. You may have not seen one thing yet. You may have not known, but you know something's about to take place. Amen. Amen. So there's a pulsation that begins and it starts happening. And I love how Brother Branham does it. He doesn't just leave it there that it's going to rain. And he couldn't see clouds, and he brings it right down. He says, now, if these people in these wheelchairs and on cots and those that are sick to die, if you could just hear the word of God tonight, don't try to figure out. Don't think how long you've been sitting. Don't think about how long you've been sick. Think about what God has said, and then let that pulsation of the Holy Spirit in your heart start saying, it's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. That's all it takes. It's the truth. That's what had it right. That's nothing but the truth. Something was pulsed. She didn't see the squirrel. She wasn't there to witness the squirrel. She didn't see nothing happen, but she heard the words of a prophet, and he told her exactly what had taken place, and something pulsated on her heart, and she looked beyond what she could see, and she looked to the unseen, and she said, that's nothing but the truth. Amen. That's what we try to get here is an atmosphere of believing. Amen. An atmosphere to look beyond the four walls and look beyond the padded pews and the beautiful music. Look beyond all of that. Look beyond what you like and what you don't like. Look beyond everything and look at there's angels in this building. Amen. There's a war that's going on, and Satan's trying to anoint, and the angels are trying to energize it. God's trying to get his word through, and Satan's trying to block it. All of this is happening right now. Right? It's all going on right now as the word's coming forth and things are it's just like TV signals or radio signals that are going forth. It's going through the room. Amen. And just as the word gets released, it goes through the room. It's trying to find somebody that'll be a receiving station and say, that's nothing but the truth. That's God in his word. That's not Brother Timothy. That's not Brother Joe. That's not Brother Tim. That wasn't Brother Samuel. That was God speaking. And that is nothing but the truth. And it begins to pulsate on the inside. And you don't think about how long you've been sick. You don't think about how long you've been in sin. You don't think about none of that no more. You look to a God that you can't see. But you say that he is. And you believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. The devil will come along and say, well, how do you know it's the truth? I know it's the truth because it's God's word. It's the truth. Amen. That's all that matters. It's God's word, so it's the truth. He doesn't lie. It's one of his characteristics. He does not lie. And something begins to pulsate in your bosom. It's the truth. Then make ready. Things are about to happen. Make ready. You're coming out of it just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit tonight. You don't look, say, how bad am I crippled, how sick I am, what the doctor said. Don't look at that. Look at the unseen. What God said. Amen. Before you're feeling it different, before the pain leaves, before your hand moves, before the eye can see one little sight, yet make ready for it's going to come as long as that pulsation is rising up in your bosom, in your heart, where God sits on the control tower. So there's a sending station and a receiving station. Now, I've used this before, but I want to use it again because in those old radios we used to have back in my childhood was little radio dials, right? How many remember them? And you could get tuned in a certain place. You could get like two channels or two stations, you know, a lot of static. You had to reach over there and try to move everything just right and turn everything. It ain't like that no more, but that's the way it used to be. Right? But it's still like that with the human heart. It's still like that in the service. Amen. Amen. Because sometimes we come in here and we got our little dials a little out. We've allowed other things to rise up and, you know, critical spirits or whatever to come in and fusses at home or whatever. And our dial's a little turned off and out of cater just a little bit. We're getting a lot of static and we're getting a lot of doubt pumped in and we're getting a lot of this and that. But the Holy Spirit comes with his word and it reaches into a heart and it just starts tuning the dial just a little bit. And all of a sudden you'll quit hearing, you'll start hearing less doubt and you'll start hearing more faith. Amen. You'll stop hearing the devil's whispers and you'll start hearing God's word and you'll start believing it and things begin to change and atmospheres begin to change. And before you know it, amen, one heart's tuned, another heart's tuned, another heart's tuned, and then we can get them all tuned in one mind and one accord. The power of God can sweep through the building. Amen. Heal the sick, raise the dead, fill with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. What do you think happens in a meeting? You have, everybody wants to put their emphasis a lot of times on a Saturday night, you know, because we got maybe a prayer line or men, you know, and you feel meetings building up. They do build up. But what? Why? Why ain't it? Why do we have ice sometimes? You know, ice breaking we got to do. Huh? Because their hearts are out of tune. They got this thought over here and they got that thought over there and they got all kind of thoughts every kind of where and everything, you know. Basically, old McDonald's got a farm, right? Thoughts everywhere. And what happens, the Spirit of God begins to move and heart starts getting tuned. Then the next service, heart starts getting tuned a little closer. And by Saturday night, heart starts, and all of a sudden you just have a climax of a service and the power of God just blow the roof off. Why? Because hearts start getting tuned. How much trouble can we save ourselves if we go on tune our hearts up before we come to church? That on a Wednesday night we can have a Saturday night. Come on, somebody. Amen. No matter what, God is not a God of certain nights or certain times. He's a God every day, every moment, every hour. He's a God tonight. And if we can just say, God, tune my heart to believe all things are possible. And I can see you. I can see Jesus. That's who I want to see. Amen. He said, I think about the Holy Ghost can lead men and tell them things and make him act different, make him believe things and receive things the world never could believe could ever happen. I'm a witness. He said, I was a blind man once myself, practically had to be led. So I know what I'm talking about. That is the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, you can't feel that pulsation of the Holy Spirit begin to rise and your heart begin to say, Jesus Christ is in our midst. Amen. Amen. Not begin to say, what I got to do tomorrow night? What's going on later this week? You know, and all of a sudden, we're singing a dismissal song. Well, that was a good one. Brother James Wilson has told me this story before about a man who went into church and fell asleep. Slept all service, if I remember the story right. He comes out and tells his friend, boy, it was a dead duck in there this tonight, wasn't it? Well, he slept the whole service. Of course it was. But maybe to the next one, it was a live one. Because their hearts was tuned. Amen. Brother Branham talks about that. He says, you know, you said, you know, Brother Josh, he can be sitting there with a headache and the next one next to him, not even know nothing about it because you can't feel it. You don't see it. You know, things in a rat, he ain't tuned it. It ain't his body. He said it's the same way with the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Spirit can actually fall on one and the person right next to him not know nothing about it. That's incredible. Not know nothing about it. Amen. Why is it? One heart was tuned. One heart was ready. But I tell you, if that other heart would have got tuned and ready, he'd have knew something about it. Amen. This is why we want to keep this line of thought for a moment, because Satan is trying everything he can do to bring static into your life. Amen. To bring doubt into your life. To bring fear into your life. To bring anxiety into your life. And tune the voice of God right out. He says, what if we tonight could tune our hearts? He said, not our literal mind, let it go, cast down reason, but our hearts could tune into the word of God to see a revival break forth, to see altars full, to see the church packed, to see a revival spreading, to see a fire that can't be put out. I'm pretty sure that was some shouting of material. A revival to break out. Altars full. Church packed. A fire that cannot be put out. Our hearts begin to pulsate under the power of the Holy Ghost. There would be such a prayer meeting. It would have to happen. Certainly. And when the church is in tune. He said, what if the people here tonight that sick would begin to just think this. God is God. God is God. Well, if he isn't God, why are you serving him anyhow? But if he is still God, he's still a healer. If he is still God, he's still Almighty God. And he can do everything he wants to do and anything he wants to do. If he made a promise, he will not break it. He will keep every promise. Then let that pulsation begin to rise in your heart. Something's going to take place. Nothing's going to stop it. It'll be like a fire blowing on a windy day. It'll just keep blowing as the Holy Spirit begins to fan that fire. And it'll keep burning until it becomes a reality to you. Because I want you to understand, unseen things are not created to remain unseen. You understand? They're to be seen. Right? Noah, he's seen the rain. Moses, he saw the deliverance. Right? So Abraham, he sought a city that his builder and maker was God. Amen. He looked for it, but now he sees it. Sure, it's unseen right now, the dead in Christ, but one day they're not going to be unseen no more. Amen. Jesus is unseen right now. Even up there where Brother Branham went to those that was already beyond the curtain of time, they said, he's not here, he's a little higher. But there's one day he's not going to be unseen no more. The whole world's going to see him.
He said, here he was looking for it. He wandered about in deserts and mountains and valleys, all kind of conditions. But the whole time, confessing that God is God, he's a pilgrim and a stranger, but he's looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he said, every born again child tonight comes through Abraham's blessing, for it's the promise that was given to Abraham. And every child of God that receives the Holy Spirit, his pulsation is the same. I'm looking for a city. But that city is not going to remain unseen. One day we're going to see it. One day we're going to dance on the streets of it. One day we're going to have our own spot there. Amen. It's not going to remain unseen. It's there. Why can you say that? Because there's a sending station and there's a receiving station, and you're getting a signal that tells you it's there. It's there. Amen. That's the same with your healing. Amen. And what is it? God trying to send down. Amen. The power of God. And there has to be a receiving station that said, yes, it's there. It's here for me. It's my moment. It's my time. It's my moment to receive something from God. I don't want to miss it. You know, he talked about Moses, and he talks about how that Moses, when he caught a vision of and he looked out that window, and it's so interesting how Brother Brandon puts it, because he said Moses and Pharaoh looked out the same window. He said, but Moses saw the children of God. Pharaoh saw mud daubers. Right? Both looking out the same way, but one was looking to the unseen. Amen. What was it? He said, we also, when we look at things and we try to judge things, we don't judge it by what we can see with these natural eyes or but we need to look. God, what are you doing here? I don't even judge a service by what I see with natural things. I want to judge it by the word of God and how things were happening, what was taking place, what was the effects of it. I saw the effects on Sunday. I saw young men receiving the Holy Ghost. I saw people get delivered. I saw a young lady that was in there, Sister Lily Pettersoli, that was in the ER with kidney problems. And in a moment, it was all gone and done away with as she listened to the Word of God. Amen. That's what I saw. I saw the effects of it. It's a supernatural working among us. He goes, he says, we're going down. See here, I'm trying to look for a certain spot. You're talking about Joshua looked. He didn't look at the walls, but he looked at the unseen. They were full of armor, but he was looking at the promise. And he said he walked around those walls shouting the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, and how much more can you walk around the wheelchair? Well, I don't know, Brother Timothy. I ain't never seen it. Well, we got one in our church that did it. Sister Elizabeth Butts pushed a wheelchair right up here to the altar and left it. Crippled her way back. But God came on the scene. Are we a witness or not? Amen. How much more can you walk around the cancer? Saw that. Saw about a 90-pound woman come out of that and run all the way around and walk all around that and walk all over that cancer. Amen. Amen. What? How much more can you walk around sin? Amen. Shouting the victory that God has given you the promise. When you see him who is invisible and that pulsation begins to pulsate and says, I am the Lord God who heals all thy diseases. Amen. When you can see that, everything else just weakens away. He looked at the unseen. Amen. Many of the others looked at the unseen. And he goes on. Let me go to another place as I try to get down the road just a minute. He said, I was thinking in another sermon, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I think this is very amazing and a key that we need to think about. He said, I was thinking that the natural man went out into the unseen of his eye, and he pulled an Adam down out of the sky, And he split that atom in two, and that destroys human life. Well, we're not seeing that just right now, right? And he went into the unseen realm, things you can't see with these eyes. And we look at it today like, wow, that's amazing. And just accept it as just everyday life. And he said, but if the natural man that knows nothing of God and cannot know anything of God except he be converted, then he becomes alive with the supernatural. He said, but if he could do that in a natural realm, what ought the man of God be doing? Come on. He's not just talking about a preacher now. What ought the man of God be doing? He says, my friends, the church is so far behind. Let's pray that God will move his church up. Come on, somebody. If a natural man can reach into the unseen and grab an atom and split it and destroy life, how much more ought the spiritual man be able to reach into the unseen and grab life? Grab a hold of the power of God. Grab a hold of the things of God, the Word of God, and make them manifest. So let's pray that God will move his church up. So if the world is up here and they're destroying life like they are at a rapid pace, where ought the church of God be? If the church, if the world is so caught up in spiritual realms, and you say, well, you can see it very clearly on them. They got all their purple hair and their metal hanging out of their faces and tattooed up. Amen. What is it? They're expressing another realm. They're expressing another realm. They have caught a vision of another realm. Well, how much more ought the church of God also be expressing a vision of the other realm? Where all things are possible. The natural man with natural resources, he said, is getting greater results than people that call themselves Christians. He said, let's press into the unseen. So I just say this. If it's been unseen to you, I say to you, I know what our church has witnessed. I'm just speaking to those who happen to be peeking in. If it's unseen to you, a miracle, you need to press in till you see one. Maybe it ought to be you to become the miracle. I don't know. Right? We all are miracles. Amen. If you ain't seen God heal, you ought to press in till you see God heal. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, I'm not laying down my weapons. I'm not laying down my little atoms that God has given me and the power of God and the things of God where I can take and I can read the Word of God and it become anointed and it splits open and the power of God be revealed and the power of God take down cancer and alopecia. I'm not laying those weapons down. I'm not putting them off for another day and say God doesn't do that. If you want to be that, you be there. But as far as me and my house, we're going to believe God for the supernatural. We're going to believe he still heals. We're going to believe he still saves. We're going to believe he still fills with the Holy Ghost. We're going to believe that even when we get down to the last moment, even now, God. We just saw it. I don't know if y'all have got to hear Brother Ron give his testimony. Go listen to it. Even now, but the chair was right there. Even now, hooked up. Even now, about to put the port in. Even now, hallelujah. See, Paul divides reality into two realms: the seen, the temporal, and the unseen, the eternal. Now, the seen realm is temporal. The unseen realm is eternal. The seen realm is physical. The unseen realm is spiritual. The seen realm is governed by senses. The unseen realm is governed by faith. The seen realm produces fear. The unseen produces faith. Amen. The seen realm is subject to change. The doctors can see cancer, but it's subject to change. No, Jesus, I'm trying to, I don't know.
Amen. The doctors can see high blood pressure, but it's subject to change. The doctors can see whatever they want to see. They can see tumors. They can see all kinds of things with mechanical eyes of machines that they have tapped in. And they've been able to reach into realms they used to never could reach in. And they can see it, but those are still temporal things. I like to remind the devil every chance I get, he's a temporary thing. I like to remind cancer every chance I get, you are temporary. I would like to remind every devil that might be here tonight, you are temporary.
Subject to change, but the unseen realm is unchanging. The seen realm has visible circumstances. The unseen realm has invisible promises. Hallelujah. The seen realm is what's happening now. The unseen realm is what God has declared. Come on, somebody. Amen. The seen realm is what's happening now. What the doctor's saying now. What the situation is saying. What's going on. But what has God said? Amen. The characteristics of the seen realm is, what do you feel? What do you see? What does the doctor say? What does the bank account show? What is people saying? It is real. I'm not trying to say it ain't real. Sicknesses are real. Zero in the bank account is real. Right? What doctors say, they're not, you know, I believe there's good doctors. I'm not trying to slight them at all. Absolutely. Good, godly doctors. They can only say what they see. Right? It is real. But it's not final. Come on. It is real, but it is not final. Hallelujah. Amen. We can read in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15 about the Assyrian army that surrounded Elisha and his servant. And all the servant could see was the scene. Woke up and guess, you know, I think I've used it before. I'm going to use it again. A shameless plug. He got his Brick Street coffee. He went out on the balcony. He tipped it up. And he just, you know, dropped it. Out of shock and awe. We're surrounded. Look at all this enemy. Look. Elisha! Yep. All right, come on. He panicked. Yeah. But while there was a seen realm, there was always the unseen. Let me tell you, the seen does not come before the unseen. Sometimes we think we see it and we hear it and then we need the unseen to come. No, the unseen's always been there. He was there before the problem showed up. He was there before the doctor's report. He was there before you ever had 1 ounce of trouble. He has always been there. The characteristics of the unseen is God's promises, angelic activity, the finished work, the declaration of Christ, spiritual authority, and eternal reality. In that same passage, from verse 15 to verse 17. Verse 15 to verse 17. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. He had his eyes open the whole time. But we know Elisha, he wasn't talking about these eyes. And when God opened his eyes to where he could see clearly and he could look beyond the temporary things, the hills and the mountains and the sky was full of horses and chariots of fire. Had gathered around for the battle. The unseen realm was greater all along. It didn't just become greater. It was greater all along. This is where the devil tries to trip us up sometimes. He thinks, well, you get into a situation, then you call God. No, God's been there for you already. He's there. And he come with enough power to take care of whatever situation. Amen. Amen. Well, this is where faith comes. It bridges the two, the unseen and the seen. The unseen realm is superior. The unseen realm is the source.
Amen. When David, when he went down into the valley, there was two realms in that valley. There was the seen and there was the unseen. Amen. There was Goliath and the Philistines and the Israelite armies cowering back in their tents and Saul scared to fight. But there was also the unseen that had taken place. Amen. The armies, all they could see was a giant. They saw armor. They heard threats. They saw danger. But David, you know what David saw? He saw the covenant. You know what David felt? He felt the anointing. You know what David had? He had the name of the Lord. You know what he rested on? God's past faithfulness. That if God was faithful then, he's still faithful now.
So he didn't walk down looking at a giant. He walked down looking at his God. Because he knew his God was bigger. He knew his God had already killed giants before. Sons of Anak. Right? He knew his God already was in the giant killing business. And let me tell you, he ain't stopped. I tell you, the devil wants to put cancer in your face so much. This one got cancer, that one. And he makes him feel like a giant sometimes. Like, how many times I got to hear the word cancer? But let me tell you something. Before cancer ever came on the scene, God was already here. And God called that giant out by name. And he told the prophet of God, when you get the people to believe, not even cancer will stand in front of your prayer. Amen. Nothing will stand, not even cancer. Yes. So that tells me God's still in a giant killing business. Amen. Same valley, different focuses. One's over here all... I remember Danny Steeman preaching on David one time down in Guyana, my very first time overseas. He's talking about this very story. And he said, I can see those Israelites in their tents with their laptops open trying to find a quote. And warring about this. And this is your turn. This is, you know, all these things going on. And a little guy walks down. He said he wasn't looking for a quote. He was the quote made manifest. This is what he wants. He wants live voices, right? Amen. Not what you get a little attacked by the devil and I got to find something. No, you already got something. See, God knew David was about to meet that Goliath, so he prepared him before he ever got there. He had a meeting with a prophet. Amen. He was the last one called to the ceremony, but nevertheless, he got called up. And when he got called, the anointing oil was poured over him. So David knew that he was anointed to be king. He knew of his position. He knew if I'm supposed to be king, then this kingship is king over this land. And this giant has dared step in and defy the armies of the living God. How dare you defy the armies of the living God, you? I want to call that thing a knucklehead for some reason. Knucklehead. It's a good word for it. Stupid devil. How dare you come in? That's where we got to get, folks. Not all shrinking back in our tents. And all tore up for 3 weeks because we got attacked. No, we got attacked, but we're still in the ground. We heard it this Sunday. We're in the homeland. So that tells me if the devil attacked me, he attacked me in what God has given me. I ain't ventured outside of it. I'm inside the promise. I'm on the promise. I'm in the word. Amen. So the devil has come and had enough nerve to step in the promised land. But there was already something laying there for him. It was already rocks that had been laid there before the foundation of the world and been laid in a little brook. And those rocks had Goliath's name on it. Before David ever got there, God had already had him in that brook. A promise he could pick up and slay his Goliath. If he would continue to not look at his circumstances, but look at the unseen. Martha, there was things that she could have looked at. Lord, if thou had been here. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it to you. She acknowledged the scene. Lazarus is dead. 4 days. But she anchored in the unseen, in His authority. Whatever you ask, God will give it. And that energized faith began operating from the eternal realm. So we got to shift our focus. You know, like Paul, we read, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, while we look not at the things that are seen. Look not. And in doing so, shift your language. Call on those things which are not as though they are. So the seen realm can be so loud. But let me tell you, the unseen realm is powerful. The seen realm is temporary. The unseen realm is eternal. The seen realm reports, doctor reports, this report, this is saying this, this one got all this going, this one got this problem. The unseen realm rules. Abraham, just a man living in the city of Ur in the land of the Chaldeans, just an ordinary man of everyday walk. But one day he come in contact with God, and he was changed. He was a changed man. He says, we see that Abraham, he's not young when this happened. He was an old man, 75 years old. His wife Sarah, which was half-sister, married many, many years before, since she was a girl, about 17, it's believed. And God told Abraham, I've chosen you and Sarah that you were going to have a child. And Sarah been barren all of her life. And Abraham never looked at what his eyes could see. An old wrinkled woman, many years past the time of life to have children. But he looked at the unseen and he saw Isaac. By faith he saw Isaac. And after he looked at the unseen, he called those things which are not as though they were. He got a glimpse of the unseen. By faith he saw it. And the Bible says he endured as seeing the invisible God. Seeing the invisible God with him all along the road. And he said, when a man once catches, oh God, that vision of the invisible God and know that he's always present. Amen. Come on now. He's always present. There's something right there that'll stabilize that man's thinking. It'll stabilize that man's thinking. It'll stabilize his actions. It's in the time of distress and trouble. It'll still make him look up and above the things that are happening around him because he's looking at the unseen yet by promise. Amen. This is what we're doing. We're looking at the unseen but by promise. We're looking at the unseen of our healing, our deliverance, or our joy, or whatever. But there's a promise that we have. Amen. It's been given us by the seed of, coming through the seed of Christ, made royal seed of Abraham. And he said the reason he believed it was because God said it. And he said, we being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. And if the spirit that was in Christ dwells in us, it does the same thing. It takes every divine promise of God that's in his Bible and calls it present tense. Hello. It doesn't look at Mark 16 and say it was back that day. Mm-mm. It doesn't look and speak to the mountain and say, well, that was just Brother Branham or that was it. No, present tense. Because a past tense or a future tense, God wasn't going to do Abraham no good. Neither will he do you any good. But that's what the devil wants to make it look like. He's the one that's present. He's the one that's in your business. He's the one that's tormenting you. But God, you know, he used to do that. And maybe in the future, maybe. This ain't the season anymore for that. That sounds like the devil's language. Makes it present tense. He's God. Now. He's God in my situation. He's God in my need. He's God in my home. He's God in my struggle. He's God in my sickness. He's God in my situation. He's God in my situation for my children or whatever. He's God. Amen. He's there for me every moment. He said when you look at it with your eyes, you see that every nation is shaking and trembling. War clouds are flying everywhere. I don't know, this is like in 50 something. Now this is 26. Every nation's under distress, perplexities of time. Every sign that Jesus said would happen is happening. There will be signs in the heaven above and the earth below, and great things will take place, like flying saucers and mystic things taking place. Have you ever heard any time in your life the government talking about aliens and stuff? There are mystic signs. There's investigating angels. There are things they've caught on camera they cannot explain. It's investigating angels. Amen. Amen. But he commanded his church not to look at all that. Not to look all around at what's happening. Well, what about Iran? What's amazing to me. You know, people got caught up in all the blood moons, and we had one there on March the 3rd, just yesterday, right? Same day as the Feast of Purim. Right. Where they write Haman's name on the bottom of their foot, where Haman got hung on his own gallows. Down there in Iran. Things don't happen by accident. I don't know what this war is going to do. I don't know where it's going to lead to. I know what eventually things are going to happen to where this whole world is going to burn to become nuclear fodder. That's in the Bible. Whether it's this war or the war to come, it's coming. I know that because it's in the Bible. And besides that, it's going to burn with a godly fire. Going to cleanse off everything. Amen. I know all that's going to take place, but my eyes is not to get onto that, because that is not my promise. I'm not promised to be in a nuclear fire. I'm not promised to be part of a tribulation saints, or promised to be part of a nuclear destruction. That is not my promise. That is not your promise. My eyes is upon the dead in Christ. When are they going to arise? When is God coming back? That is my eyes is on. He's coming back like he said. He's coming back, and it's going to happen just like he said it would. They can be under distress. Things are happening. He said, but Christ has commanded his church to lift up their head in that day. And look up, for the unseen Christ will be appearing really soon. If we can only walk by sight, by faith and not by sight. He said if we walk by sight, we'd be the children of darkness, sure enough. But I'm so glad to know that there's a light that shines in every believer's heart until that eternal day when we shall see Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the musicians to come. Got tons more. We don't have to get shook up, tore up, all worried, all depressed. What's going to happen here? I don't know what's going to happen other than Jesus is coming back. That's what I do know. I don't know where it's going to, how long we're going to go, what are we going to see? How far are we going to get to the edge of it? But I do know Jesus is coming. The dead in Christ is going to rise. And we're going to be changed. So God, shift my focus to look at what's eternal and not what's temporary. If we can just do that in a service, we'll get caught up in the things of the workings of a service. Don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in what's happening. Souls are being saved. Families are being restored. Things are happening. Apparently God's pleased. God's moving. God's changing. God's ministering. God's touching. Look to the unseen. Let's bow our hearts. I'm going to say, Lord, shift my focus. Let me Let me see Jesus. Let me see Him. God, help me not to be caught up in things I see, things around me, reports of a doctor, situations in the church, things that's going on, problems. Lord, let me see You. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him every service. I want to see Him moving hearts and lives. I want to see the atmosphere to where He can have freedom and move in His deliverance and power. I want to see Jesus. Father, tune our hearts, Lord. We can see You, Lord Jesus. We can see You moving in our lives, God. We can see You moving in this church. We can see, Lord, You moving, Lord, in the bride around the world. Oh, the devil always wants to point out all the faults and the failures, the mistakes. People fell off here, done this. Lord, there's going to be a people that, as the word says, those that are alive and remain. There's going to be someone who remains. They remain faithful. They remain in faith, believing. They remain looking to the hills which cometh their help. They remain, Lord, looking to You, the author and the finisher of their faith. Lord, this world is shaking. There's wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations. Just as it's, we can read the book here, and it's there. It's been prophesied to be Israel, the burdensome stone. Lord, we can see all these things falling into place. We can see man, how it's reached out into those realms and caught death and killed millions. Lord, there's got to be somebody that can reach into that other realm and grab life. Grab that promise of God and grab the supernatural realm. Get a hold of it. Oh, Jesus. Lord, if we'd have walked up on Jacob that day wrestling with that angel, maybe we'd have thought that man's mad and rolling around in the dirt. Maybe we couldn't have seen what he had a hold of, but he saw it. He said, Lord, I'm not going to let You go till You change me. Lord, and for that moment, as You touched him, he would walk never the same again. Change his name, change his nature, change everything about him. I believe, God, You're still that same kind of God today. Somebody here that sees their moment, sees their time, won't let it go until You come down and You move on their behalf and touch them. Change them, oh God. Lord, we love You, Father, and appreciate You. Thank You for these hearts. Thank You for every hand that was raised. Let's tune our lives into You, Lord, in the supernatural, we pray. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light. Yeah.
Sure.